Welcome to Dental Brain Crops. I am your host, Chelsea Myers, and today I'm joined with Stephanie Potts. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chelsea. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you. We've had to reschedule a couple of times. I appreciate your flexibility on that, but I'm really excited to have you here today. And Brett was just saying the nicest things about you. Brett Kessler was on the show a while back, and I noticed the connection between you two. And so I was like, hey, Stephanie's going to be on the show. And he's like, oh my gosh, I love Steph. So I'm excited for this conversation. So
yeah, he's a great guy.
Having that said, tell me a little bit, just if you would, tell us a background, you know, who you are, what you've done so far in your professional career to get you to where you are now.
Yeah, so I'm a dental hygienist. I've been practicing clinically. I still practice. It's been about 15 years. And I spent quite a bit of time actually with Dr. Brett, who you just, who you interviewed. I spent, 8 or 9 years at his practice. So he's amazing. But anyway, so I practiced full time probably for about 12, 13 years. The time is kind of getting messed up for me now, but I think it's been like 12 or 13 years. And then I shifted because of a variety of reasons. We can get into that if you would like to, but I decided to become certified in ergonomics and start a company where I help dental professionals with their ergonomics. I know that myself, I've had a lot of issues with that, and I'm not the only one. So I went back to school, got certified, and I started my company called Polished Posture, where I'm helping dental professionals just figure out their ergonomics and feel better in the operatory.
So what is it that you were noticing? That was it your own physical pain? Was it the doctors you were working with? What was going on?
Yeah, no, it was definitely me. I it kind of stereotypical what happens with a lot of us is I had some pain that would bother me every now and then, and then it would go away. So it wasn't anything I really focused on. But then it got to the point where it was chronic. It started Monday morning right when I sat in the chair. I had it on the weekends as well. And I just knew that I wasn't doing things correctly in the operatory, you know, and I would go get a massage or go get in a chiropractic adjustment and I would get some relief. But man, right when I came back into the op, it came right back. And so I knew it was something I was doing in there. So I started learning about ergonomics just for myself so that I could feel better. And I felt such a difference with that. And I just learned so much that it was kind of a no-brainer that I start a company to help other people with that, because I know that probably most of us struggle with ergonomics at some point.
Yeah. And it's so important, you know, if you have never dealt with physical discomfort on a prolonged and repetitive basis, it can be difficult to conceptualize the gravity that actually has. It sounds like, okay, so you're uncomfortable. You know, when I pop a knuckle that's not ready, that hurts too. It's not like that. This actually, I know personally, and I work with a lot of individuals who struggle with chronic pain, it has an emotional and it even feels spiritual impact on your ability to connect and be present and even feel good at times. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right. It's not just the physical discomfort, although that can be intense, you know, and it's like when you're not in pain, you don't ever think about pain. But when you're in pain, it's all you think about. And it affects every aspect of your life, not just work, but my personal relationships, my mental health. I was depressed because I was either in pain at work or I was having to call out because my back was out and I literally couldn't move, you know? And most of us in dentistry, we have such strong work ethics and we're passionate about what we do. And when we can't fulfill those obligations, it just really starts to mess with our head. And like I said, it carries over to your personal life too. And we have a really hard job. We're in a challenging profession and we deserve to be able to enjoy our life outside of work, but you can't really do that if you're in pain or depressed or anxious because of your pain.
And totally not uncommon in this industry is to have individuals taking like the maximum dosage of Tylenol and waking up a couple hours early to take Tylenol so that when they get up, they can feel like they can get up and go do their job. I've heard that so many times. And, you know, then of course, sometimes graduating to other medications that are stronger and sometimes debilitating. And so you're saying that you found a way that you can treat this and create more comfort without the use of medication, or sometimes in conjunction with, I'd imagine, but something that really, really helps that we can do naturally and physically on our own.
Yeah. And when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Like, these little things that we're doing every day in the operatory will either help us or hurt us over time. If we're doing 100, and I see this when I'm doing my assessments, hundreds of twists to one side a day, or hundreds of reaches like overhead or across, or having our head forward, all of those things are going to add up and really start to contribute, not just to our pain, but like permanent changes in our body, like muscular and skeletal changes that are very hard to reverse. And so it all adds up, it all matters, you know? And if we just take a second to learn ergonomics and really be mindful of what we're doing, we can feel so much better without using medications and really reducing these outside services that we use, like chiropractic and massage, because we can go and see those people and they're great. They have a lot of value. But if we're just coming back and doing like the same thing, like all these crazy things, our body's going to get messed up again.
Yeah, that is so relevant. It's ringing a bell with me. There was one period of our life where we had 3 babies 3 years in a row. And I ended up noticing that I preferred to hold the babies on the same hip. And then that made me doing the same repetitive things with my other arm. And this went on for literally 3 years straight. And on that third baby, I was like, you know, I'm going to try something different. It was totally awkward, but I would make myself hold the baby on the other hip so that I could use my other side of my body. And I felt so weak and awkward trying to do what seemed like repetitive and normal tasks. But how do you do that? Let's put ourselves in a practice environment where your job is primarily same or similar each day, and your ops are set up, you know, to have you twisting that same way each day. What can we do?
Well, there are some operatories that are definitely tougher to navigate, but if we understand healthy movements versus unhealthy movements, we can figure out, okay, this is how I have to move in this operatory to reduce this twisting. Or maybe I need to get like a cheap little medical cart to keep next to me to hold some supplies so that I don't have to like keep reaching and twisting, you know? And that's kind of what I help with when I'm doing assessments, is I'm assessing the person. I'm also assessing the operatory, because they're all different. But once we become aware of ourselves and what we're doing, we have a lot of power there. And although a lot of us think that we're just stuck in these static positions and we can't move, we can move, we can stand. We can alternate sitting and standing. We can stop for a minute and take what's called a micro break, which is a quick little 20-second stretch break. We can add some variety into our practice, but we kind of get almost comfortable in our discomfort, right? We know that this doesn't feel good, and we know we're probably not doing it right, but that's what we know. That's what our body goes to. And so it just takes a little bit to break those habits.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And one thing that I've noticed is when people have breaks, the first thing I notice them do is go to their phone, which, by the way, I read this article not too long ago about this posture that we all have now. And it's, you know, like 20 or 30 years old since we've all adopted the habit of carrying around our cell phones and being on them so frequently. But that's one of those things that you're saying, just to be aware of those times that we can have, instead of reaching for our phone and checking a text message or social media, instead do a stretch, do something rejuvenating and healing for our bodies. One of the things that's coming to mind as you're talking, it almost is reminiscent of meditation, because when we meditate, we have to get into our bodies, right? And recognize where different emotions are being felt, how different movements feel as we move through each one, if we're moving. And I'm curious to know, is meditation at all related to or a part of what you teach and practice?
So I do practice meditation personally. It's not generally something that I get into with my ergonomic assessments, but I do quite a bit of speaking on ergonomics, and I do talk about meditation and mindfulness and some other like diet, exercise, all that kind of stuff. Because to me, ergonomics, it's not just about a nice piece of equipment or even remembering to stretch during the day. It's like it's in the operatory, it's also out of the operatory. So it's really anything we can do to take care of our minds and bodies, I consider to be ergonomic, because that's just going to help us work better.
Yeah. I'm literally right now putting my heel up to my back trying to do a little stretch while we're talking here, because I'm like, I should be practicing what she's teaching right now. And this is an opportunity. I can do it. Nobody can even see it. I'm just telling you that I'm doing it, but I'm doing it. But yeah, I really do think there's value in finding those little moments, those opportunities where we can, either help ourselves or do something that's less productive. I was going to say, I have this belief. I don't think we're ever stagnant or plateauing. I think we're either improving or we're not improving. We're going backwards, because you can't just stay the same if everything else is moving forward. So presumably, if you have an interest in what you're doing and getting better at it and being around to do it longer, it would be wise to make time for these things that you're saying. Are there any dental specific, like if someone was like, fine, I'll implement 5 minutes of stretching a day, that's all I can commit to personally that I know I'll stick to, what would certain stretches be that you'd recommend just in that 5 minutes?
Well, me personally, if we were talking about a person who's working clinical, I really recommend doing some kind of movement in the operatory. Yes, that means your patient is in there. You don't have to do it in front of your patient. You know, you can scoot up like behind them a little bit and do a little stretch, but it's so important for us to have good blood flow while we're working. That's the biggest thing when we start to develop pain and injury, is because blood just is physically is not able to get into these areas. Mm-hmm. So a couple of the stretches that I prefer, and these are, I actually have a whole list of them on my social media page, my Instagram page. There's a micro break section there and it has videos of all of them. But I would say my two favorite ones are stretching out the upper traps. So it's when you're, you know, sitting on your stool, you can either use your hand to pull your head to the side, or you can just tip your head to the side. But that's really going to stretch out these trapezius muscles. These are the most overworked muscles in dental professionals. And for most of us, they're rock hard, like in a bad way. We don't want them to be that hard. Mine are like actually really hard right now. But another stretch is making sure that we're stretching out the muscles of the forearm. So when our forearm muscles get really tight, and they get tight for us because we're holding on to things for a long time. We're holding on to like the suction or our instruments or our handpiece. And it really stresses these muscles. And what happens is it starts to pull the tendons in your wrist, in your elbow, and start causing tendonitis there or even carpal tunnel. So those are probably my two favorite stretches for dental professionals, but there's a lot of other ones too.
Yeah, when you mentioned the traps, that's my husband's first sign that I'm tense. He'll come in and he'll be like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "How do you know?" "Yes, exactly." He's like, "Well, yeah. Your shoulders are up to your ears, and you always do that when you're stressed." But that's really interesting. So I wonder, is it a stress response because that's where I keep my stress, or is it because they've been used in a certain way, they're more active and activated when I have a heightened emotion?
It could be both. For most of us, especially in dental, these traps are completely overactive. They're always on fire. Like they're always just on because we like do these unhealthy postures. But another thing that's interesting is the research has shown that these muscles, the upper traps, respond the most strongly to any kind of emotional stress. And so if they're already on fire, if they're already overworked, and then we've got like a difficult patient or some kind of stressful situation, they're really going to contract. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but when I go to dental conventions, sometimes I see some of the more seasoned, and I can say that because I'm seasoned, more seasoned clinicians, but their shoulders are kind of permanently up here, or they've got a hunch in their back, you know, and I'm just like, oh, like it does not have to be that way, but we really need to be mindful of what we're doing now.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then there are these loops that I've seen that are supposed to decrease your need to look down. What are your thoughts?
100% love them. I am very passionate about those loops.
Okay.
I've used a variety of loops throughout my career, and like they've been great, except for the fact I'm still tipping my head forward. And if you have loops that you're using and you're still tipping your head forward, in my opinion, those are not ergonomic, because that's a very unhealthy position for our neck. So those ergonomic loops, like what you're talking about, really promote a neutral head posture. Like they're the only ones that I've ever used that I can keep my head on completely straight. So I feel like they're a no-brainer for anyone practicing dentistry to use those.
That's great. Now, you mentioned something that made me think. I've got a couple groups of doctors going through a weight loss journey right now, and we get really intentional about noticing how different foods feel in our body, both immediately and then the impact later. And when you mentioned a flow of oxygen being needed to prevent injury, it resonated because there's so many things we can do to oxygenate our blood with what we eat. And there's so much that we can do to hinder that process with the toxins we ingest. And so is that a component of what you teach, or how important would you say diet is in relation to ergonomics?
I would say it's crucial when we're talking about ergonomics and health. That's something I get into more on like the lecture side. If I do it, depending on the assessment, depending on the client's like issues that they're having, sometimes I'll get into it with them. I talk about sleep also, because that's huge. But yeah, so I do try to address, but it's very like when I'm working with people, it's very it's very individualized based on what they need, you know? And so if I think that they need some guidance with diet, exercise, sleep, stress management, then we'll definitely talk about that too.
Yeah, there was this book I read years and years ago. It was called The Green Smoothie Girl Diet, but she had, I think she got cancer. She got some serious illness. And as a major part of her treatment, she oxygenated her blood by ingesting a ton of raw greens and other vegetables. And it made a tremendous impact on her health and recovery. And so I just think it's so important, you know, it's both interesting to learn about one aspect, and it can be tempting to just focus on one thing. You know, it's like going to the gym and only ever doing curls, but you're not getting that full result. And oftentimes we're holding ourselves back in some important ways if we're not looking at all of the things that are involved. And so, yeah, I think that's great.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Yes, very good to oxygenate the blood. You can do that with like hydration or diet or whatever. But if we're in the operatory and we're doing this number, okay, a lot of us do this. It's called the chicken wing. This muscle, these traps and these shoulder girdle muscles, they're contracted for an extended period of time, and that cuts off blood flow. So at that point, it doesn't matter how much oxygen is in your blood, right? It's not getting to the muscle because it's been contracted for like 20 minutes. And so that's when those micro breaks really come into play, because you take a micro break, you just take 20 seconds and relax those muscles and stretch them out. And then that oxygenated blood can get back into the muscles. So that's where it all kind of comes together.
Yeah, no, I think that's so great. I love that. And it's, you know, even for someone like me, I'm not practicing clinically. I'm not even a dentist. And so I'm not doing this all day long. But when you mention that, I'm making connections of what am I doing on a long-term basis? Yeah. That's probably just like pinching the hose, right? And It does go hand in hand, because as soon as you release, you want that blood to be oxygenated to have that bigger impact. So yeah, this is all good stuff, Stephanie. So if I'm listening, I am listening to this conversation, and if I'm anybody else listening to it and I'm interested in learning more, what would working with you look like? How do you help me or my practice?
Yeah. So there's different, different tiers as far as what I do, but I always start with an assessment. So that's me either virtual or in person, but I'm observing the person working on a patient in their operatory, ideally the operatory that they're in the most. And I'm taking photos and video and tons of notes. I've got this little form that I fill out on them, and I make a report for them. And depending on what they want, some people just want the assessment, which is fine. Some people want some coaching, like, okay, this is what I can improve on. Can you help me? Like, how do I figure this out, and how do I piece it all together? So depending on what they want, I will coach them also. My favorite is when I work with an entire office, because I can work with all of the clinicians. I do a nice like condensed form of my ergonomic CE, which is just really good background knowledge for the entire office. But when I'm working with a whole team, they almost become like little ergonomic coaches too. And they hold each other accountable, not in a bad way, but they're just more aware of it. And they can start to like help each other and be like, you know, why, like, put your arm down, or like, why are you hunching over? You know what I mean? Like, sit up straight type thing. And so it's just really nice because they can start to work with each other too.
Yeah, I love those team environments. I respond really well to them. I think a lot of people do, and particularly when you're already on a team, when you're driven by goals and objectives and incentives, it's just one more thing, and it's super personal to feel good. Nobody wants to feel worse, and we would all love to feel better. And so this is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned sleep. What is your opinion on sleep? Is that like our pillow, or is that being intentional with your sleep routine? What is involved in ergonomics as it relates to sleep?
Yeah, it's more of a, it's not so much ergonomic and pillows. You know, I do get a lot of questions about pillows, but that's such an individual type thing as far as what people prefer and what's going to be good for them. For pillows, I would say any kind of pillow that can hold you in a neutral head position. For me, it's a contour, one of those contoured pillows helps keep my neck in a neutral position. But really, I'm talking about, yes, your sleep routine, prioritizing sleep, and making sure that you have good like sleep architecture, that you're going through all of the phases of sleep and spending enough time in each phase of sleep. There's our deep sleep. When we're in deep sleep, that is the most restorative sleep that we have, and that heals our muscles. It helps with our brain and our mental health, you know. But if we're only spending 20 minutes in deep sleep a night, that's probably not going to be helping us. So I really like the use of sleep trackers so that people can see. It gives them, I mean, it's not perfect, but it can give them a rough estimate on their sleep architecture. And so they can be like, wow, maybe I need to go to bed a little bit earlier, or maybe I need to have a better routine so that I fall asleep and get into that deep sleep pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. And it would probably make you take a look at things like we mentioned before, like diet, and certain medications you may be taking, how much caffeine you're consuming. I had a client tell me that when she was consuming caffeine, her movements were actually different, and she didn't feel the strain the same way. And then when the caffeine would wear off, she would realize that she not had pulled muscles, but she had strained herself. And so it was kind of this vicious cycle of taking the caffeine to be productive and then not wanting it to wear off because it hurts.
Yeah, and that's tough if we do
your sleep.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I mean, alcohol and what we're eating at night also, and how late we're eating, our screen time, the amount of light we're exposed to at the last part of the day. I mean, it all adds up. But sleep, you know, I hear sometimes people say, I'll sleep when I'm dead type thing. And I don't agree with that.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Me neither. Well, hey, listen, this has been so much fun. I think I could just keep you talking all day. What is something that I haven't asked you that you want to make sure is included in this conversation?
I guess so I do assessments, which are great. Some people I understand though are not comfortable with someone watching them, and I get it. So I've created a couple courses that are on my website for both operator positioning, which is free, and then I have a new patient positioning course, because I feel like those are probably the two things that people need help with the most as far as their position and how to hold neutral posture and then how to position their patient. And so I just wanted to put that out there that those are available too.
Yeah, thank you. So could you tell us, what is your website? Where can we follow you on social, and how would someone get in contact with you?
Yeah, so my website is www.polishedposture.net. There's a lot of resources on there. I have a lot of blog posts, a lot of information. My courses are on there. And then there's also links to all of my social media on that as well. And they can contact me through the website. That's probably the easiest way, because everything's there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. This has been so much fun. I feel like, more than anything, I feel like I didn't know what I didn't know until now. Now I've got all these areas I need to be watching for and go and research more and talk to you more about. So this was a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed our conversation today.
Me too. Thank you. Yeah. And just keep moving at your desk. I'm sure you're at your desk a lot and doing those little stretches, drinking water, you know, hydration is huge. Yes. And thank you so much for what you're doing too.
I appreciate you joining me for today's episode. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and visit dentallife.coach for access to additional coaching tools, as well as more episodes to help you create the dental life you truly desire.